A second chance. 12. Debts to pay. Ajamil repented his negligence in performing his duty to his wife, father, and mother. It is the duty of grown-up children to render service to their aged parents. This practice should be reintroduced into present society. Otherwise, what is the use of family life? Proper family life means that the husband should be protective, the wife chaste, and the children grateful to their father and mother. Children should think, "My father and mother gave me so much service. When I was unable to walk, they carried me. When I was unable to eat, they fed me. They gave me an education. They gave me life." A bona fide son thinks of ways to render service to his father and mother. And just as a woman is expected to be faithful to her husband, so the husband should be grateful for her service and protect her. Because of his association with a prostitute, however, Ajamil had abandoned all his duties. Regretting this, he now considered himself quite fallen. According to the Vedic social system, as soon as one takes birth, he becomes indebted to so many persons. We are indebted to the rishis, or great sages, because we derive knowledge from their transcendental writings, such as the Srimad Bhagavatam, compiled by Srila Vyasadeva. The authors of the scripture know past, present, and future, and we are urged to take advantage of such invaluable knowledge. Thus we are indebted to the sages. We are also indebted to the demigods, for they manage the affairs of the universe, supplying it with every essential, sunshine from the sun god, Surya, moonshine from the moon god, Chandra, air from Vayu, and so on. Each element is controlled by a particular demigod. We are also indebted to ordinary living entities from whom we take service. For example, we take milk from the cow. According to Vedic understanding, the cow is considered one of our mothers because we drink her milk, just as at birth we drink our mother's milk. The Srimad Bhagavatam lists 7 mothers: our own mother, the wife of our teacher or spiritual master, the wife of a brahmana, the wife of the king, the nurse, the cow, and the earth. We are indebted to all 7 of these mothers, and also to our father, brothers, friends, relatives, and forefathers. Also, if someone accepts charity, he becomes indebted, and that debt has to be repaid, just as borrowed money must be repaid. Therefore, devotees should not accept charity from anyone unless they intend to spend it in Krishna's service. For a devotee to accept donations just to satisfy his belly is a great sin. Brahmanas and sannyasis who accept charity from others must accept it with great caution. According to the Vedic social structure, only the brahmachari, sannyasi, and brahmana are allowed to collect money in charity. An ordinary householder must not. The brahmachari may collect alms from the public for serving his spiritual master, and a sannyasi may collect money for serving God, Krishna. The Vedas likewise direct people to give charity to the brahmanas, because they know how to spend it for Krishna. Charity given to a worthy person is in the mode of goodness, Charity given for one's own personal benefit is touched with the motive passion, and charity given without any consideration is sunk in the motive ignorance. For instance, if we give money to a rascal, he will likely take it to the nearest liquor shop. Those who are rich may think it does not matter, they can afford not to discriminate, but the scriptures describe these three kinds of charity. We may well ask, how can one hope to liquidate all his debts? The answer is, only by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, or Mukunda. The name Mukunda indicates one who liberates us from material contamination. We are indebted to the demigods, but we cannot take shelter of them. If we actually want shelter, we should take shelter of Krishna, because he alone can free us from all debts. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and if he excuses us, then all other departmental managers, such as the demigods, must also excuse us. Ajamila understood his position as a debtor, but since he had now taken shelter at the lotus feet of Mukunda, all his debts were cleared. Simply by taking shelter of Lord Narayana, who is not different from Mukunda, Ajamila became free. Similarly, if we want to be free from all sinful reactions, we have no alternative but to surrender to Krishna. As Krishna recommends, Mam Ekam Saranam Vraja, simply surrender unto me. We should follow Krishna's advice. Otherwise, it will be very difficult to liquidate all our debts to so many persons, especially in this age of Kali. Permanent credit in the material world, there is danger at every step. Even for those who are pure devotees, there is the danger of falling down from the standard of purity. However, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, January 5, 17, Narada Muni assures us, Tayaktva Sva Dharmam Karanam Bhujam Hara Bhajana Pakvathapadat Tato Yadi Yat Prakavya Vabhadram Abhadam Usayakam Kovatha Apto Bhajatam Sva Dharmata. The word Dharma in this verse means occupational duties. A Brahmana, for example, has certain occupational duties. Similarly, a Kshatriya has his, and so also do the Vaisya and Sudra. If a person gives up his occupational duties and takes to Krishna consciousness, strictly following all the rules and regulations, but if due to his immature execution of devotional service he falls down, there is still no loss for him. Whatever he does as service to the Supreme Lord, although it may be a small percentage of his whole life, will remain to his credit. He does not lose it. On the other hand, one who perfectly executes his occupational duties, but fails to worship Krishna, ultimately gains nothing. Strictly discharging one's occupational duties means living a life of piety. But suppose through these pious activities you are promoted to the heavenly kingdom. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that, as soon as the effects of your pious activities are finished, you will be forced to return to this planet. Another point, if a person performs pious activities in this life, such as giving in charity, he must return here in the next life to accept the beneficial results of his pious actions. That means he must accept another term of material life. So it is not a sound idea to hope for acquisition of the effects of pious activities. Unfortunately, even in India, people are more inclined to perform pious activities, such as giving in charity, than to take up devotional service to Krishna. They hope that by performing such tapasya, or austerity, they will be elevated at death to a higher standard of material life in the heavenly planets. They also worship demigods for this purpose, or to gain a benediction in this life. Lord Shiva, for example, very quickly gives his worshipper material benedictions, whatever his devotee wants. He is very kind. He is known as Asutosa, he who is easily satisfied. For this reason, people are fond of worshipping him for material prosperity. But Sri Krishna condemns such worship in the Bhagavad Gita 7.20, Kamastis Terhritajnanaprapadayantnaya Devata. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender unto the demigods. This Srimad Bhagavatam tells the story of Vrikasura, who sought a terrible benediction from Lord Shiva. Vrikasura asked that whoever he would touch upon the head would be destroyed. This is the sort of benediction sought by demons. Ravana and Hiranyakasipu also received such benedictions. They thought that by becoming powerful they could elude death. This is typical demoniac mentality. None of these demons, however, was saved from death by the benediction received from the demigods. Rather, ultimately they were all killed by the Supreme Lord. It is nature's law that everyone here must die. No one who takes birth in the material world can live eternally. The material world is called Martyaloka, meaning that every living entity here is subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. In illusion, people do not see this. They try to adjust their material condition so that they can live perpetually. Modern scientists also aspire to be immortal, in imitation of Hiranyakasipu. This is all foolishness. One should not be afraid of dying, but one should be cautious and ask, what sort of situation will I attain in my next life as a result of my activities? A devotee is never afraid of death. He simply prays to Krishna, I may die and take birth again repeatedly, as you like. But I only ask that, in whatever condition I may live, by your mercy I will never forget you. A devotee is not afraid, but he is cautious not to fall down. At the same time, he knows that whatever percentage of devotional service he renders is to his permanent credit. The story of Ajamila is the perfect illustration of that point. We should follow the rules and regulations very strictly. But even if we fall down, there is no loss. That is the statement of Narada Muni quoted above. Even if one takes to Krishna consciousness on the basis of sentiment, and executes devotional service for only some time and again returns to material life, whatever service he has rendered is recorded, and one day he will be saved. Just as Ajamila was saved. After the Vishnu Dutas disappeared, Ajamila at first wondered, whether he had been dreaming that they had come to release him from the binding ropes of the Yamadutas. When Ajamila was on his deathbed, practically in a coma, he actually saw the Yamadutas and Visnudutas, but it seemed to him that he was just dreaming. When he saw that he was in fact released from the fearsome agents of Yamaraja, he wanted to see the Visnudutas again. They had appeared very splendid. Their bodily features were just like those of Lord Visnu, and they were decorated like him, and carried the four symbols of his potency, the conch shell, lotus, club, and disc. Their bodies shone with a very beautiful luster, and their dress was of golden silk. Therefore Ajamila inquired, "Where are those beautiful personalities who released me from the bondage of the Yamadutas?" Ajamila thought, "My whole life was full of sinful activities, so how could I be worthy of seeing such great personalities?" He concluded, "Perhaps in my previous life I did something good, and as a result I have been allowed to see the Visnudutas." In fact, early in life Ajamila had been a faithful servant of Lord Narayana, and as a result he was able to see the Visnudutas. It was the good association Ajamila had been blessed with in his early days that saved him. As stated in the Caitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 22.54, Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha Sarva Sastra Kaya Lava Matra Sadhu Sange Sarva Siddhi Haya. The verdict of all revealed scriptures is that by even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success. In the beginning of his life Ajamila was certainly very pure, and he associated with devotees and brahmanas. Because of that pious activity, even though he was fallen, he was inspired to name his son Narayana. Certainly this was due to good counsel given from within by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, 15.15, Sarvasya katam hriti sannivistamata smritir jnanamapahanam ka. I'm seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Lord is so kind that, if one has ever rendered service to him, the Lord never forgets him. Thus the Lord, from within, gave Ajamila the inspiration to name his youngest son Narayana, so that in affection he would constantly call Narayana, Narayana, and thus be saved from the most fearful and dangerous condition at the time of his death. Such is the mercy of Krishna. Guru Krsn, A Prasate Paya Bhakti Lata Bidja. By the mercy of the Guru and Krishna, one receives the seed of bhakti, devotional service. Watering the seed by the process of hearing and chanting the name of the Lord saves a devotee from the greatest fear. In our Krishna consciousness movement we therefore change a devotee's name to one that reminds him of Visnu. If at the time of death the devotee can remember his own name, such as Krishna Dasa or Govinda Dasa, he can be saved from the greatest danger. Therefore, the change of names at the time of initiation is essential. The Krishna consciousness movement is so meticulous that it gives one a good opportunity, To remember Krishna somehow or other. Remembrance of Krishna at the time of death is generally possible only for persons who have established an intimate relationship with Krishna throughout a lifetime of devotional service. When Ajamila was a young boy, he was trained by his father to be completely faithful to the Lord, and until the age of 20 he served Lord Narayana very nicely. Although Ajamila had fallen down from the standard of devotional service to Lord Narayana and forgotten his relationship with him, Narayana did not forget, and in Ajamila's hour of need he reciprocated his devotee's love. Thus Ajamila was given the presence of mind to remember Narayana at the time of death. Krishna is very appreciative of even a small amount of devotional service. He confirms this in the Bhagavad Gita 2.40. Nebhikramanazosti pratyavayo navidayet svalpram apyasaya dharmasaya trayi mahatobayat. In this endeavor there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path protects one from the most fearful type of danger. If a person practices even a small amount of devotional service, it can save him from the greatest danger. So why not take to Krishna consciousness? Engage in devotional service always, 24 hours a day. Then there is no question of danger. One who has become Krishna conscious is fearless. He knows he is under the protection of Krishna. Chapter 18. Pilgrim with a Purpose. Ajamila continued, I'm a shameless cheater who has killed his Brahminical culture. Indeed, I'm sin personified. What am I in comparison to the all-auspicious chanting of the holy name of Lord Narayana? I'm such a sinful person. But since I have now gotten this opportunity, I must completely control my mind, life, and senses and always engage in devotional service, so that I may not fall again into the deep darkness and ignorance of material life. Because of identifying oneself with the body, one is subjected to desires for sense gratification, and thus one performs many kinds of pious and impious acts. This is what constitutes material bondage. Now I shall disentangle myself from my material bondage, which has been caused by the Supreme Lord's illusory energy in the form of a woman. Being a most fallen soul, I was victimized by the illusory energy and have become like a dancing dog led around by a woman's hand. Now I shall give up all lusty desires and free myself from this illusion. I shall become a merciful, well-wishing friend to all living entities and always absorb myself in Krishna consciousness. Simply because I chanted the holy name of the Lord and the association of devotees, my heart is now becoming purified. Therefore I shall not fall victim again to the false lures of material sense gratification. Now that I have become fixed in the absolute truth, I shall no longer identify myself with the body. I shall give up the false conceptions of I and mine, and fix my mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami continued, because of a moment's association with devotees, the Vishnu Duta Sajamila detached himself from the material conception of life with determination. Thus free from all material attraction, he immediately started for Haridwar. There he took shelter out of this new temple, where he executed the process of Bhakti Yoga. He controlled his senses and fully applied his mind in the service of the Lord. Thus Ajamila fully engaged in devotional service, and in this way he detached his mind from the process of sense gratification, and became fully absorbed in thinking of the form of the Lord. When his intelligence and mind were fixed upon the form of the Lord, Ajamila once again saw before him four celestial persons. He could understand that they were those he had seen previously, and thus he offered them his obeisances by bowing down before them. Upon seeing the Visnudutas, Ajamila gave up his material body at Hardwar on the bank of the Ganges. He regained his original spiritual body, one appropriate for an associate of the Lord. Accompanied by the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, he then boarded an airplane made of gold. Passing through the airways, he went directly to the abode of Lord Vishnu, the husband of the goddess of fortune. Because of bad association, Ajamila had given up all Brahminical culture and religious principles. Becoming most fallen, he had stolen, drunk liquor, and performed other abominable acts. He had even kept a prostitute. Thus he had been destined to be carried away to hell by the order carriers of Yamaraja. But he was immediately rescued simply by a glimpse of the chanting of the holy name Narayana. Therefore, one who desires freedom from material bondage should adopt the process of chanting and glorifying the name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at whose feet all the holy places stand. One cannot derive this benefit from other methods, such as pious atonement, speculative knowledge, or meditation in mystic yoga, because even after following such methods a person will take to fruitive activities again, unable to control his mind, which is contaminated by the base qualities of nature, namely passion and ignorance. Because this very confidential historical narration has the potency to vanquish all sinful reactions, the person who hears or describes it with faith and devotion is no longer doomed to hellish life, regardless of his having a material body and regardless of how sinful he may have been. Indeed, the Yamadutas do not approach him even to see him. After giving up his body, he returns home, back to Godhead, where he is very respectfully received and worshipped. While suffering at the time of death, Ajamila chanted the holy name of the Lord, and although the chanting was directed toward his son, he nevertheless returned home, back to Godhead. Therefore, if a person faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, what doubt is there that he will return to Godhead? Srimad Bhagavatam 6.2.34-49. Determination. The holy name of God is all auspicious. Therefore, for one who constantly practices chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, there cannot be any inauspiciousness. Just by chanting, one is put into an auspicious condition of life perpetually. Those engaged in broadcasting the holy name through the Krishna consciousness movement should always consider what their position was before they came, and what it is now. They had fallen into abominable lives as meat-eaters, drunkards, and woman-hunters, performing all kinds of sinful activities, but now they have been given the opportunity to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore they should always appreciate this opportunity. By the grace of the Lord we are opening many branches, and the members of this movement should use this good fortune to chant the holy name of the Lord and serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. They must be conscious of the difference between their present conditions and their past conditions, and should always be very careful not to fall from the most exalted life of Krishna consciousness. Every devotee of Krishna should have this determination. Devotees have been elevated to an exalted position by the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master, and if they remember that this is a great opportunity and pray to Krishna that they will not fall again, their lives will be successful. Being fully Krishna conscious, Ajamila settled the debts he had accrued due to his sinful activities, and he was filled with determination to continue chanting the holy name of the Lord. Narayana, if I continue chanting the holy name of the Lord, he thought, I will always be engaged in the highest welfare activities for the benefit of all living entities, and I shall be very peaceful. Because he was now purified of all sinful reactions, Ajamila realized that Krishna was dictating from within his heart that his duty was to become every living entity's well-wisher.